It's the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. You can listen to ESPN Pensacola on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you, as always. Woody, happy Friday to you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not just a happy Friday because I'm trying to be optimistic here. It's also because Alabama, dare I say, had a win over Mercer that was somehow even more dominant than I, and I think you and I both, had anticipated. We had Alabama breaking 50 points, but I genuinely am impressed with how you contained Mercer's offense.
Yeah, they played well. Played well as a unit and were somewhat more disciplined in their play.
Yeah, 52-7 was the final. This was a team where, you know, I think Mercer made like a great play or two every now and again. You kind of saw flashes of them trying to stand out and say, "Woo, look at us." But this was a game Alabama, very offensively efficient. You mentioned Milroe. He missed a couple passes that he probably shouldn't have missed. And I think you can just chalk that up to, listen, you're just trying to put this game away as quickly as possible. Maybe you're a little rushed, you know, just trying to ice it and move on.
Yeah. I think DeBoer, in his displeasure with him missing those passes, was thinking down the road.
Yeah,
you can't afford to do that in a tighter ballgame against a better team.
That is true, and it doesn't matter the unfortunate seasons Oklahoma and Auburn are having. Those are going to be tougher games for you, so I understand his concern. But Milroe, nonetheless, he threw for 186 yards and two touchdowns, and that may not sound like an all-time game, but because it isn't. But he did it on just 11 completions. So, as I said, pretty offensively efficient. He also ran in 43 yards and another score. Beyond him, three other quarterbacks were able to see action. And there's a 6'6 freshman, Austin Mack. He threw a 31-yard touchdown on just his third pass. So, who knows? We may have a quarterback of the future there. I'm not sure.
He dropped a dime.
Yeah. I mean, and it. I think that's just a testament to just, especially that late in the game, it was just a testament to how different these two teams are talent-wise. Believe it or not, Alabama's got Mercer beat in the talent department. Who would have thought? On the rushing end, didn't really see much. That was too noteworthy. I mean, as I said, Jalen Milroe, 43 yards, touchdown. I think that was – he may have been y'all's leading rusher on the afternoon.
I think he may have been. I'm not sure.
Either way, it was forgettable. I'll say that. But Jeremy Bernard and Ryan Williams, we always talk about them, seeing how they did, two of the top receivers on the team throughout this season. Bernard was Bama's leading receiver. He had four catches, 81 yards. Ryan Williams, meanwhile, he only had three catches for 36, but one of them was a touchdown and also officially had a 29-yard rushing score. So they did their part. And you know what, Woody, I'm going to give you a shout out here because I think Alabama, heard your plea. You had previously talked about, you know, hey, listen, these wide receivers are great, but we've got some tight end depth here that we don't really see utilized too often, and we did see some of that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did. They've utilized them pretty well from a blocking scheme standpoint all year, but they hadn't really thrown, you know, very many passes to them, and so I was glad to see that
right
in the ball game also.
Yeah, Jalen Milroe, I understand when you've got a dual-threat QB and you've got to run heavy game and all that, you're going to be in a position where, as you said, the tight ends are going to be used more as blockers first. That's totally fine. But I do think, I mean, come on, what year is it, right? Like, tight ends need to be able to catch. We need to be able to see that they can be part of the passing scheme, and they proved that, even if it was against an FCS opponent. As for how Alabama did defensively, I would say that was even more impressive because I was singing praises to this Mercer offense last week. I mean, they were putting up – heck, it has to be averaging over 30 points a game this year.
Yeah, they led their league, didn't they? In offense?
If I had to guess, because they were looking very dominant. I mean, in 9-1, so their offense kind of bailed them out in games. Their one loss, they lost. They scored 35 points, but they lost by 20 because their defense gave up on them. So this was clearly an offensive-minded team, and we kind of expected the hit-or-miss defense to kind of be their main downfall here. But to give Alabama's own defense some credit, let's see. So not only did they hold the Bears to 7 points, but Mercer only got 10 first downs, and they went 1 for 9 on third downs. And the Bama defense had 3 takeaways. So just completely shut Mercer down. This is about as impressive as you can make an FCS win look, if you're Alabama.
Yeah. And it's hard to look impressive against them. FCS team.
Well, it's easy to look impressive against them, but it's hard for anyone to care. Yeah. But you know, 9-1 team coming to play, high-powered offense, shutting them down. That was a good look. Alabama, they had no turnovers of their own, so that was great ball control by them. If I just had to list one negative, it would be penalties. We've talked about Alabama's penalty issues throughout the season, and we have been saying week in, week out, or at least I have, that this is going to cost you in a bigger game on a bigger stage, or at least it can in a competitive game, which we knew Mercer wasn't going to be. But this is just getting ridiculous. You only had one more penalty than Mercer. I think you had 6 to their 5. But they went for almost 30 more yards. You're having 60 yards of penalty against Mercer? That's probably a crime when you're this big of a school and you got 60 yards of penalties against an FCS team. I don't know. I'm not a law major, but if you're going to give up yardage like that at home against them, I mean, how much are you going to give up when you go to Norman, a hostile environment that's trying to play spoiler, and then you got the Iron Bowl, which is one of the most prominent hate-filled rivalries out there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's lack of concentration. I can't understand it. I really can't.
Yeah, and you know, I'll allow some wiggle room. If you're on the road, tough environment, high stakes, you know, the environment's jarring, everyone's cheering, the atmosphere is getting rough, and there's some miscommunication, so there's like a delay of game, or there's a false start, or something. It's like, that's one thing. That's frivolous stuff, and it's expected to happen. But you're averaging 10 yards of penalty here. That's either you're getting too physical, grabbing a lot of jersey, or you're being unsportsmanlike. You can't be doing stuff like that. I did want to touch on this just a little bit, and we can talk about it more later. But apparently, y'all's 52-7 win over Mercer didn't just impress you and me. It also impressed the committee. And let me elaborate. You guys have now jumped Miami into CFP rankings. I saw this, and because last week y'all were behind them, and I'm like, I'm surprised by that. Miami hasn't beaten anyone. They got a loss to Georgia Tech. Miami had a bye week, so it's impossible to look worse. Apparently, you just wowed the committee so much with stomping Mercer that you got it. That's the smoking gun. You are better than Miami.
I don't ever recall jumping a team in the standings playing, you know, a Mercer type team. I raised an eyelid or two.
Yeah.
When I saw that.
Alabama statement wins. Georgia at LSU, Mercer. No, but in all seriousness, there's a and it's already 10 after, so we'll probably touch more on this after the break. But I look at this and I see that as kind of a you want the truth. I think the committee just knew, you know what, we messed up by keeping Miami ahead of Alabama. So let's use this opportunity with Alabama getting yet another dominating win and justify putting them ahead of the Hurricanes, because I look at Miami, I don't buy them. I look at the ACC. I think it's become increasingly clear, and I think this Alabama placement proves it. Whoever wins the ACC is getting in. Nobody else is touching the bracket. We had Tomahawk Talk on Wednesday morning. I filled in for Jordan Glass on that. That's every Wednesday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, by the way. But I set in for Jordan on that, and Terrence A. Gross, yes, I'm going to name drop him. He said that he's got maybe, you know, 2. And he was just kind of talking about it in passing and humored as many as maybe 3 ACC teams in. No chance. The main number he was saying was 2, but I just don't see that happening.
No, I don't either.
Yeah, there's too many 2-loss ACC
teams.
Yeah, you can't have a 1 or 2-loss Miami and SMU in that conversation. The winner gets the bye, and, you know, everybody else, they're just left out. And we're going to talk about other teams that could be in a similar situation after this weekend, but of course that's later on in the program. You're listening to Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, and Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you. Woody, when it comes to this whole fear, because this is something we're going to talk about in the next segment, when it comes to the fear of like a trap game, I feel that this upcoming weekend, tomorrow, at Oklahoma, right before the Iron Bowl, would have fit that description in the preseason. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma was a 10-win team. Going there right before the Iron Bowl, when we still knew so little about Alabama's consistency, I felt like this was a big eyebrow raiser. But now, Oklahoma's 5-5. Alabama's in the top 7. Nobody's questioning that. I think they've proven it. Do you see this as being a trap game? We'll talk about what actually it's going to take to beat Oklahoma and what it's going to take to look out for later. But do you actually see this being a trap?
Well, knowing a little bit about the mindset that's been in place at Tuscaloosa the last couple of weeks, I don't see it. I think Alabama, player-wise, coaching-wise, is going to be ready to play.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree. If Oklahoma were just an 8-win team, I would look at this and say, whoa, this is a darn good school we got here. But they're not. They, 5-5, you're crossing your fingers hoping to make a bowl. And I don't know. Maybe it's a coaching issue with Oklahoma. I know their quarterback problems have been a very big concern throughout this season. And we've got some statistical details on just how bad Oklahoma's offense has been. And I'm sorry, I'm not saying this as a joke. It's going to sound funny. But I think if you can contain Mercer's offense as well as you did, I think you can contain Oklahoma's. And I do not say that as a slap in the face to Oklahoma. I genuinely stand by Mercer having a good offense. So I think Alabama defensively is going to be as ready as they can be for this underwhelming, I'll put it that way, mm-hmm. Oklahoma offensive attack. All righty, just about 10:15 here. You're listening to the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. When we return, we'll look at what exactly it is that's making OU tick, and not in a good way, offensively and defensively, as Alabama prepares for this preamble to the Iron Bowl.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantonment is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a win.
Green and tea!
Big Green Egg, Napoleon, and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape. Think football, think Ace Hardware in Cantonment, and score big time. Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Beret. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Beret Jewelers.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hi, I'm Dr. Peter Stahl, board-certified urologist and senior vice president of men's sexual health at HIMSS. In my 12 years of practice as a reproductive urologist, I've helped many guys with ED. and it has never been more convenient to treat than it is right now, thanks to Hims. It really wasn't easy before. You had to take time out of your day, come to a physical office, and see a specialist like me in person. Now, through Hims.com, you can get world-class sexual health care and a full range of treatment options for ED through a 100% online process. It starts with a free assessment from a medical provider licensed in your state who can determine if ED treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is shipped to you for free. So don't wait. Join the hundreds of thousands of guys who've gotten help for their ED through Hims.
To start your free online visit and find ED treatment at up to 95% off brand name prices, go to hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit.
You want it? You got it. NFL football on ESPN Pensacola. Sunday, in an NFL doubleheader, the 9-1 Detroit Lions take on the 5-6 Indianapolis Colts at 11 a.m. Then at 7 p.m., it's the 8-2 Philadelphia Eagles versus the 5-5 L.A. Rams. Catch every pass, every play right here on ESPN Pensacola.
The Rich Eisen Show, on weekdays after Greeny, 11 to 2, on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM.
It's the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, and on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. Again, brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. Austin Price, Woody Waters here in the studio with you. Woody, when we left off, we were talking about Oklahoma and how, oh man, textbook trap game right before a huge rivalry on the road. 10-win Sooners. Oh, wait, they cut their win total in half and they're praying to make a bowl. So all of a sudden, Sooners aren't looking so hot. And their offense has been a huge question mark for them, which that alone is probably going to be a prime difference maker when they take on this lights-out Alabama defense.
Yeah, I think so, because Alabama certainly on the defensive side of the ball is getting stronger and stronger every game the last month or so. And so, you know, they're going to find it, I think, tough to move the football.
Yeah, I see this, and, you know, I I always make a point. I'm like, you know what? It's a tradition. I will give the score predictions at the end of the program. The problem is I always talk in a sense where you know who I'm going with, and I'm not lying. I see this being a pretty forgettable conference game for Alabama, and just, you know, they always talk about the bully on the beach who kicks sand in your eye. This is going to be one of those games. Oklahoma is just trying to make a bowl. They don't have to win this game to do that. They could play spoiler, and of course they're going to try to. This may be their senior day because this could be their last home game. But I just look at Oklahoma. Here's some context for you. That when it comes to Oklahoma and their struggling offense. So the maker breaker, you know, for Oklahoma has been it's been their offensive situation. You're most likely not going to get many points out of them. I can't think of a team that is going to be more of a pain in that regard than Alabama. The Tide, we'll start with their offense. They've broken 30 points in 5 of their 7 Power 4 games.
Yeah.
So pretty high-powered. One of the 2 times that they didn't was against a top 20 South Carolina. They're now ranked. And they scored 27. So Alabama's got a pretty consistent offensive regime here. Even when we saw the turnover issues and saw the penalty yardage and so on and so forth. As for the Sooners, they are in a position where their offense, I said Alabama has only been held to under 30 twice against Power 4 teams, and one of those times was against what was 27 points against South Carolina. 27 is an important number. That's the most the Sooners have scored against a Power 4 team all year. 27-21 over Auburn. Mind you, they were down by double digits. They had to come back to win that game, and Auburn is having to win out to go bowling. Mm-hmm. So we're really seeing the gap in hierarchy here. As far as their performances against Power 4 squads, they've been held to single digits against them. The same amount of times they've broken 20 against them. So you broke 20 against 2 out of 7 Power 4 opponents, and you have also been held to single digits 2 out of 7 times. I think you lost 34-3 to Texas, and you lost, what was it, 35-9 to South Carolina.
Yeah, those are not good indicators for Oklahoma going forward.
Yeah, and I said it earlier this year. It may have been on a War Eagle Weekly. That's on Thursdays. I don't know why Bama fans would want to listen to that, but that's on Thursday mornings from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. on ESPN Pensacola. But I think we, back when Auburn was facing Oklahoma, I even said, we're in a position here where we're talking about Oklahoma as an offensive tumor. They're a defensive-first team. Their offense is their downfall. And that's just so strange to see from that program. They used to be all offense.
Yeah, it used to be the other way around, for sure.
Oh, yeah, in the Big 12, you'd get a 63-58, and that was just any other Saturday. I mean, it was unbelievable that Oklahoma was the poster child of terrible defense, and now here they are struggling like they are, and defense is their only saving grace. I would say that this is the problem. Alabama's defense has allowed only 20 points in their last 3 games combined. So that high-powered Mercer offense was held to 7. LSU was held to 13. And you shut out Missouri 34-0. So yeah. When I say lights out earlier describing Alabama's defense, I wasn't joking. Straight up, that's going to kill the Sooners.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't – because of how Alabama's defense is playing, I don't see Oklahoma being very much of a threat.
Right. Physically, it's not going to be a problem. Offensively, defensively, y'all are just checking both of those boxes overwhelmingly in your favor. Hinted at last segment talking about, you know what, Alabama, there was fear of overlooking them on their way to the Iron Bowl. But you mentioned something that with DeBoer. You've mentioned it to me earlier this season – that Kalen DeBoer kind of has a change in mindset. He's kind of established a change in mindset when it comes to this team. I was always nervous about their recklessness when it came to some of their performances against Vandy in Tennessee. But, no, it seems like they've gotten it together, and I think we're going to see that here. I think they're just going to try to kind of plow through this game just to get to the rivalry. They know that their back's up against the wall. They got a win to be in and just take care of them.
Yeah, it's another – business day at the office for them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how they look at it.
And I also mentioned this last segment, but we were talking about Alabama now being ahead of the ACC front runner Miami into CFP rankings. I have heard that we could see more than one ACC team in the playoff. I don't buy it at all. I think this is the committee telling us that. And look, the committee's kind of stupid. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. But – I mean, it had to be said. But the thing is, I always try to look at every rankings they give us, and I'm like, okay, they made this move, and there's a message here. And I even said, Bama jumping Miami when they have a worse record and they only beat Mercer doesn't sound right to me. I took that as the committee saying, the ACC, we don't buy them. The champ's getting in, that's it. So if you see SMU floating around at 13th, that's our way of telling you, you're not getting in if you don't win this conference. Mm-hmm. I don't care that your only loss is by 3 to a top 15 team. I don't care. You're not getting in. So Miami being ahead of being behind Alabama now, I think just kind of confirms that to me. And it confirms what we've already been talking about as well with the Tide just controlling their own destiny.
Yep, it does.
And also, I do want to say this, because this isn't as much of a bigger picture issue as far as the playoff, because we're kind of talking about cross conferences here. But just looking at the SEC solely, Ole Miss is now the next highest ranked SEC team, not named Texas, because, you know, Texas is the toppest. They're the toppest one. They're right. The top ranked, and then you've got Bama, then you got Ole Miss, but now you got Miami wedged between them. I take that as the committee saying, listen, we look at Alabama right now. They are the best team in the SEC, not named Texas, and we think they are visibly better than an Ole Miss. We think they are visibly better than Georgia. And, man, I think they may feel that Alabama today is better than Tennessee.
I think that's a real possibility, or at least they view Alabama, the opponents they played, the games they played in, of a tougher standard than what Tennessee's played.
Right. And, you know, I give the committee credit for trying their best to be consistent with head-to-head matchups. But when everybody's beating everybody, you're going to have a contradiction. So Tennessee losing, I guess what's really hurting Tennessee right now is a loss to 5-5 Arkansas.
It is.
That's what's weighing them down. I know Alabama lost to 6-4 Vandy, but hey, 6-4 is better than 5-5. What are you going to do? So I think that's just a matter of them saying the Tide's visibly better than the rest of these guys. If you want the truth, I think if the Longhorns had a second loss, they would be behind Alabama as well. Their biggest stage was at home against Georgia, and they got doubled up on the scoreboard. And they're most remembered for throwing trash. That's not good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and especially when you look at the Horns now, their statement wins were over who? They beat Michigan. Michigan stinks. They beat Oklahoma. We've just spent the last 10 minutes talking about why Oklahoma is no good. Those were like your best wins. Outside of that, you struggled with other mid-tier SEC teams, which reminds me, I mentioned this yesterday. You're listening to Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN, by the way. Austin Price, Woody Waters in here with you. So I mentioned that, but I also mentioned that Texas on their on like some ESPN graphic, their statement wins that were listed were at Vanderbilt and at Arkansas. Mind you, they won those games by an average of what? 6.5 points?
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Gosh.
They didn't look impressive at their last game against Arkansas.
No.
At all.
No. And we knew to give them credit, we knew that was an upset alert. You were going on the road, and it was a Southwest Conference rivalry. Arkansas despises Texas. I get it. I get struggling, but it's not just that. Your claim to fame in the SEC right now is beating up on Oklahoma, which doesn't even count as a true SEC game in a lot of people's hearts, but also they're terrible. Florida was down to their third-string QB. You beat the snot out of them and, you know, started flexing like, yeah, we're back. You haven't looked impressive against anyone else. So I think right now the committee truly believes that Alabama's the best SEC team. If Texas had another loss, then they would be below the Tide. But, of course, record's going to prevail there. I also think that we're in a position where Alabama – They can't make the conference title game. They've got two conference losses. I think you could be in a position where Texas A&M beats the Longhorns, and we've got like some huge, like 7-way tie, 8-way tie here, whatever it may be, between two lost teams. There is a way for that to happen, where Alabama would get like some tiebreaker advantage into the SEC title game. But right now, it's not looking particularly likely.
Well, from what I've seen and heard, if Bama wins out, meaning Oklahoma and Auburn, it's Texas Alabama,
really,
in the conference championship.
Okay, so let's say Texas A&M beats Texas, then would it be Texas A&M and Alabama?
I don't know. Probably.
Wow. As I said, I knew if you put Alabama in this gaggle — that was the term I used earlier — if you put Alabama in this gaggle of two-loss SEC teams, I knew that they would have the advantage in some tiebreakers. But, man, if they've already almost punched their ticket, that's huge.
Well, the team that's sitting on the fence, so to speak, is Tennessee. Tennessee's
really?
11th right now.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right. They're behind Ole Miss and Georgia.
Yeah, and if Alabama wins out and they're going to go to the conference championship, play Texas, Tennessee's is going to be out.
Right. Well, and that is a very big concern, because we've talked about all these teams devouring each other, and they have, but Tennessee at home only beat Alabama by 7. If you weigh that to Georgia beating Tennessee by double digits, Ole Miss beating Georgia by 3 possessions, it's like, okay, well, your win's going to be weighed as the least. And it sucks that you're in that position, but when you've got all these two-loss teams, you gotta cut the cord somewhere. No, that's Tennessee. Yeah, you're right. They are really in trouble right now, and they're probably feeling pretty slighted by that, but it's just the way the dominoes are going to fall here. All right, we've rambled on about this way too long. My head's starting to hurt because I didn't even know Alabama was in as strong of a position as they were. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, if A&M beats Texas, that would work because you would have Texas A&M with two conference losses, or you'd have Texas with two. Wow, Alabama really is sitting pretty. All right, you're listening to the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. When we return, we got some big games swirling around the SEC here, some that are nationally relevant, some that are upset alerts, so on so forth. But it's just good to know that there are a lot of implications here, and it actually starts early with Ole Miss at Florida. Woody, I'm going to tell you right now, that's an upset alert. We got details on that stuff and more coming up.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantonment is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a winner.
Green and tea!
Big Green Egg, Napoleon, and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape. Think football, think Ace Hardware in Cantonment, and score big time. Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29.
Florida Blue and Egg Fest Pensacola invite you to a healthy grilling celebration today, 11:30 to 2, at the local Florida Blue Center at 1680 Airport Boulevard. Meet the Florida Blue healthcare team and enjoy watching the expert chefs at work. Open enrollment has started, and choosing the right health plan is simple. When you work with Pensacola's Florida Blue Center, find your health solution at Airport and 9th.
While supplies last, event attendance is required. Parent or guardian must be present with children. Policies and limitations and exclusions. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Florida Incorporated, DBA Florida Blue.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So, you're having some starting trouble. Sorry to hear that. We'll help you find the answers you're looking for. We can start by testing your battery. Don't worry, it won't cost you a thing. Just bring it inside and we'll handle the rest. Testing your battery will help us know if it's time for a change or not, which means you won't waste any money on something you don't need. You can learn more about our free battery testing on AutoZone.com. Getting your job done just got easier. Restrictions apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Hey, fans! Welcome back to Fansville's Cheers and Tears. Oh. Okay, so like everybody deals with losing, right? To a rival on a last-second field goal. Whatever, it's fine. I'm totally fine. But I cope with losing with an ice-cold Dr. Pepper. Those 23 flavors are like so delicious. They totally wash away the pain of your college football team taking a big fat L. College football, it's a pepper thing.
My grades were bad.
I appeared to be doing good at my school life, but if you would see me at home, it would have been a completely different story.
I mean, it was just rough focusing on school when your mother is somebody you have to take care of.
There are students who need somebody.
Communities and Schools is helping more than 1.3 million kids get whatever they need to succeed in school. You can help change the picture of education at communitiesandschools.org.
I hear people say we can't save every kid, but I think that we can.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunity.
Mike Greenberg, weekdays 9 to 11, right before the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. You can listen to ESPN Pensacola on 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m. and on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you. All right, Woody, you know, I said we'll talk about this if we have time after the predictions, but you know what? No, I'm making an executive decision. We're going to talk about it now because it is where we left off. you had to kind of sober me up a bit. You had to remind me about this Alabama situation here. They are in a far better position than I gave them credit for. I knew that they were in a spot where if they end up tied amongst, you know, two SEC lost teams, they would get a tiebreaker advantage. But with the way it's sitting right now, if Texas beats Texas A&M next week, then it's going to be Texas and Bama. If Texas A&M beats Texas, it's going to be A&M and Bama. That's the way it's currently looking. And I asked you, you know, heck, man, between those two teams, who would you rather face? And you said?
A&M.
You said A&M, but this kind of blindsided me. I think I've still got, you know, the slap print on my cheek from being, you know, smacked upside the head by this. But you had just told me that most Bama fans are kind of gunning for Texas. There's some resentment there.
Mm-hmm. There is, but you asked me which two I'd rather play. I'd rather play A&M because they don't have a Sark.
a Sark. Yeah, it's a noun. It's a thing that, you know, a team possesses. And Texas has it. Yeah. Steve Sarkisian, of course, we've discussed him before because he's one of the many great products of Nick Saban. And yeah, he has given Alabama hell. I mean, quite frankly, it was a couple years ago in Austin. Quinn Ewers got hurt, but you still had to come back to win 20-19. And then Texas comes to Tuscaloosa last year and almost kicks you out of the playoff by beating you by 10 on the road. So you're kind of gunning for Texas. I described it to you this way during the break. They're kind of the, you know, the pretty boy. They're the new kid on campus. They're flashy. They think, oh, we're cool. But they've only beaten up on a select few mediocre SEC teams. The biggest challenge they faced, they got beat up by. So they're looking kind of fake right now. I can see why that would chap Bama. I can see why that would irk them a bit. But as you said, that coach is known for giving you fits. It doesn't matter what the storyline is surrounding Texas. That coach is a problem. Meanwhile, Texas A&M has a first-year head coach, Mike Elko. You don't have nearly the history with him. He's not nearly as tricky from what you know of. Texas A&M's all the lower ranked. They got beat up by South Carolina real bad by the time that game was over. So both of these teams are good but flawed. So the coaching advantage is what really kind of has you hesitant on the Longhorns.
Yeah, the coaching advantage plus Alabama. Texas matches up pretty good with Alabama.
On paper, yeah.
On paper. Not so good with A&M. And Alabama would have some superiority in certain areas.
Yeah. So, And I got to tell you, and we can discuss this more in a moment because we're going to talk about Texas A&M being one of the multiple Southeastern teams we have on upset alert this weekend. But Texas A&M, my only problem with them is I can't make heads or tails of that team. They're good, but when you look at their quality wins, I mean, beating LSU, LSU's trying not to go 6-5 this weekend. Like, so that doesn't mean as much as we thought. Missouri, it is a crime that Missouri is still ranked. You know what, I'm shameless plug here, Woody. Every Tuesday, or actually no, now it's Wednesdays. Every Wednesday night, I do the College Try podcast with Austin Price. You can find that on ESPN Pensacola's website, ESPNPensacola.com, local podcast page. Talk about college football. I almost ruptured something in my throat Wednesday night talking about why is Missouri still ranked? They haven't deserved it. And Texas A&M ran them off the field. That's one of your best-looking wins as far as who you beat and how bad you beat them. And they shouldn't be ranked. So when I look at Texas A&M, I don't know what to make of them either. I know Texas is kind of fake, but A&M is not looking like the real McCoy. If you just want me to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, I don't know either. I follow your chain of thought in what you just said. I think this weekend we may learn a little bit more about Texas A&M.
Yeah,
got to go to Auburn. Auburn is playing pretty good football on the defensive side.
Very physical defense, right.
So we'll find out a little bit more about Texas A&M, I think, and we'll see. Even though then next weekend they go to their rivalry and play Texas. And they play Texas at their place.
Right.
So, you know, that's kind of like the Alabama-Auburn thing. All bets are off.
Yeah.
When you play that game.
Texas A&M, I don't doubt for a moment that the fear of them looking ahead is part of why they're favored so narrowly over Auburn. But yeah, we'll with that in mind, we'll get into this SEC slate here. But first, you're listening to the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. On ESPN Pensacola. Austin Price, Woody Waters here with you. Woody, number 9 Ole Miss goes to Florida. Florida, in spite of it all, this is just a dog that the rabies hasn't killed yet. They're 5-5. They're trying to move up to 6-5. I think, as far as how Florida State's done, the Gators are guaranteed to go bowling at this point after beating LSU by double digits. Do you think in the swamp, Lagway's back? You think they stun Ole Miss here? Because Ole Miss isn't even a full week out at this point from playing the Egg Bowl. They play Mississippi State on Black Friday. Do you think Ole Miss kind of overlooks this game on the previous Saturday?
I don't think so. With Lane there, I think he's going to play this like it's, you know, a championship game. And in some thought or theory, it is. I mean, he needs to win this football game.
Yeah, we've talked about Alabama needing to win out. Ole Miss really does.
Yeah. And, you know, Florida's going to be on the same thought on the Florida side. They're going to be trying to win this game too. So, you know, this thing could come down to who wins the line of scrimmage and who makes the fewest mistakes.
Yeah, Ole Miss favored by 12.5. I would not be surprised if Florida covered. Mm-hmm. Strangely enough, I think I do have Ole Miss winning by around 13. I think I had the score being like 34-21 or something earlier this week. Ole Miss going on the road, that's an upset alert and a half because, as I said, by the time you're playing that game, you're not even going to be a full week out from the Egg Bowl. But while the upset trap game parameters are in place, I do think Ole Miss knows, listen, we got to win this game. We cannot afford to trip up here. And when you are truly locked in, truly dialed in, this team versus that team, Ole Miss is visibly better than Florida, of course. So I'll give the Rebels the nod, but if they get stunned, I'm still going to feel like I was right.
Now, here's one thing to point out before we move on.
What's that?
Ole Miss's quarterback has got to remain healthy.
Jackson Dart.
In this ball game.
Yeah. And he's been the big guy talking about it. He looked like Palpatine in the press conference saying, you know, got to win out. Well, Jackson, you're going to be a big part of that. So prayers up, my friend. UMass goes to Georgia. This is the bad thing about college football late in the year, especially when you're covering the SEC. They play weaklings a lot late in the season. So Woody, just tell me who you got.
I got Georgia big, 55-0.
Yeah, I think I said this yesterday on War Eagle Weekly. Georgia, I am surprised there's a spread listed. Sometimes when a game is so lopsided, you don't see a spread.
Yeah, they won't do it.
So I'm surprised Georgia even has a spread here. But for what it's worth, they're favored by 42, and you have them covering. Good to know. Tennessee hosts UTEP. UTEP is basically the Tex-Mex version of UMass. They're both 2-8 on the year, both going on the road to a high-ranking SEC team. Tennessee favored by 40.5. I'm assuming you have Tennessee winning this game, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Big.
Yeah. Golly. See, Georgia and Tennessee, we were talking about upset alerts. We were talking about nationally relevant games, and then you got these jokers out here playing nobodies. Texas hosts Kentucky. Now, I've heard whispers that this could be a trap game for Texas. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not convinced, especially with it being in Austin.
No, it's in Austin. I'd be shocked if it turned out as a trap game.
Texas favored by 20 points. Kentucky, they're too bad.
They do more than that.
Oh, you think Texas covers?
Yeah.
I think they could, because this is going to be another moment for Texas where they can beat up on a weakling and say, But I look at Kentucky, they're 4-6. They are strangely down this year. This is a team that's finished with winning records for the past few years. And now they've got to win out just to go bowling. Being so down and out, getting smeared by Florida, losing to Auburn. They had some highs early, and now since then they've just had nothing but lows. So to see them going to Texas, I'm with you. I got Texas winning big. It's just a matter of by how much. Here we got another lame game. South Carolina hosting Wofford. Look, South Carolina's going to win, but I'm gonna run this by you because I think this is more important than that game. Do you think South Carolina, realistically, has a playoff path?
With three losses, I can't see it. Not with all the two lost teams. I don't see it.
It would take chaos. But some people are saying, hey, listen, man, South Carolina ain't out of this. And officially, they may not be.
Right.
Because you do got to applaud their season. They have a narrow loss at Alabama. That's clearly fortunate now, you know, with how good that's looking. But you barely lost to LSU. You had quarterback issues in that game. And who else did you lose to? You lost to Ole Miss pretty bad. That was ugly. But they're saying, hey, look, you've been competitive in most of those losses. You got a win over Mizzou, who is, for whatever reason, still ranked. You blew out Texas A&M. And they're also considering South Carolina not only went out but beat Clemson soundly. If you do that, you'll have another ranked win, another huge Power 4 win under your belt. So South Carolina could, hypothetically, but I agree with you, Woody. There's just too much that would have to go their way. Arkansas hosts Louisiana Tech. Arkansas is favored by 22. I don't know if I buy that. Louisiana Tech can sometimes give teams a scare, but they're struggling, as they have for a few years now. They're 4-6. Arkansas is 4-5. I'm assuming you got the backs.
Yeah, I got Arkansas.
Yeah, we got the Hogs big there. This is kind of a scare for me. Mizzou is 7-3. They're ranked. They go to 2-8 Mississippi State. They're only favored by 8, so that should tell you why that should tell you why I don't think Mizzou should be ranked. I do think this could be a game where Mississippi State plays it tougher than we think, but I have Mizzou winning.
Yeah, I guess I'd have to pick Mizzou, but I'll say this. They go into Mississippi State, and playing at Mississippi State is not an easy task.
No, that's a very jarring.
It's a very,
place.
Very jarring. You got cowbells in your ears from the opening kickoff to the final buzzer. It's going to be a tough place to play. So it wouldn't surprise me if that was a lot tighter than 8 points or whatever they got.
No, I agree 100%. Yeah, Mizzou's only favored by 8. Texas A&M mentioned this earlier. They go to Auburn, only favored by 2.5. Auburn's 4-6, so that seems kind of concerning. But Auburn, also a tough place to play. This is a trap game because Auburn's got a physical defense, and this is right before you host Texas. Mike Elko talked about this on War Eagle Weekly yesterday. He had a slip-up in a press conference where he talked about looking at one game at a time, but then he said Texas. He didn't say Auburn.
Yeah,
so,
and I heard that.
Yeah, so Auburn, do you think they get the scare here? Or do you think Texas A&M is just like, no, let's just blow these guys out and move on?
Auburn could make it interesting. I mean, when you go to that place, anything's possible.
Yeah, it's tough.
They could. They very well could. I mean, because Auburn, you talk about somebody with their backs because of their early season miscues that they've had, and it's been on them. They beat themselves.
Yeah, especially with turnovers.
You know, and so, you know, they have certainly an opportunity, but I think my thought is that Texas A&M is going to win the football game. And it may not be by many, but I think they'll win the football game.
Yeah, I got them by about 10 points. Not a very high scoring game. And then Vandy at LSU. Both of these teams 6-4. LSU really struggling right now. I've got LSU. They're favored by 7.5. I've got them because they're at home at night, Death Valley.
You've got LSU.
Yes. You're like, I don't.
I mean, LSU's a dumpster fire right now.
They are. They're struggling.
You know, I don't know. I can understand your pick. And LSU probably, is it a night game?
Yes, it is. It kicks at 6:45.
Okay. LSU very well is probably going to win that ball game. But Vandy, if they play their tight offense, meaning ball control,
They're not out of it.
That could get interesting.
Yeah, that's definitely a game you should keep an eye on, even if it doesn't have very nationally relevant implications. But, yeah, we'll take LSU at home. You're listening to the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. When we return, we'll get a very quick look at some of these more nationally relevant games. Army Notre Dame, Ohio State, Indiana, and just – whatever else, whatever upset alerts are swirling around. We'll be right back.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantonment is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a win.
Green 18!
Big Green Egg, Napoleon, and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape.
think football, think Ace Hardware and Cantonment, and score big time. Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29.
Calling all FSU Seminole fans, Tomahawk Talk is here. Tune in Wednesday from 9 till 10 right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM, to get the latest on Florida State football. Hear from the experts, the superfans, and even some former players about what's happening on the field, the sidelines, to the locker room. It's your chance to be a part of the conversation and let your war chant out. It's Tomahawk Talk, Wednesday from 9 till 10. Tomahawk Talk, brought to you by the law firm of Gross & Schuster.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-777-1225. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-777-1225. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-777-1225. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-777-1225. 800-777-1225 or biglou.com.
It's weed, not alcohol. It just relaxes me. I'm a better driver when I'm high. I do it all the time, no problem.
THC reduces your reaction time by half a second, impacting your attention, coordination, and lane tracking. A delay of just half a second can be the difference between life and death. Stay alert, stay alive. Don't drive high.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Transportation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Ryan Rand here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. It's NFC action from L.A. this week when Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, and the Rams host Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, and the Eagles. It's a star-studded primetime matchup and an important game for both teams as they battle for position in their divisions. Join Hall of Famer Kurt Warner and me for all the action, Eagles and the Rams, on Sunday Night Football.
The Eagles take on the Rams at 7 p.m. on ESPN Pensacola.
Paul Feinbaum on weekday afternoons after the Rich Eisen Show, 2 to 6 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you. Woody, we only got a few minutes here, so we'll just hit some of the biggest dogs for this weekend. Starting with 11 a.m., number 5, Indiana, travels to number 2, Ohio State. This feels like a make-or-break game for both of those teams, perhaps. Who do you got? Ohio State's favored by 11.
I got to go with Ohio State. I think Ohio State's got the horses a whole lot more quality and in depth than Indiana. Yeah, I think Indiana will put up a good fight, but I got to go with Ohio State.
I'm the same way. I feel bad for the Hoosiers because this may be, as I said, a make-or-break game for them, but I just can't imagine they beat Ohio State on the road. Then we've got this is a big one in the Big 12. Number 14, BYU, travels to number 21, Arizona State. Arizona State, if they win this game, they'll be up there with Colorado as the two frontrunners to make the Big 12 title game and fight for a playoff spot. Arizona State is at home, and they are favored by 3. Do you think BYU bounces back?
I think that's going to be a tough task to do because Arizona State plays really, really well in their place.
Yeah.
And BYU's got to go down there and play them down there. So, I don't know. I think the bookies may be right on that. I'm going to say Arizona State.
I've got them narrowly. I've got them by around – I had them, like, by 4. I think I had 27-23. So, yeah, we're in tune with the bettors here. Okay, of course, this is a huge one. Number 19, Army, travels to number 6, Notre Dame. Notre Dame favored by 14. You mentioned this as we were coming in. this is just going to ride on Army if they can control the pace of the game with their wishbone offense.
Right, right. Wishbone is you got to play assignment football. You got to be disciplined in everything. You got to play gap defense. And so it all depends on how well Notre Dame plays in all those categories, because if Army can move the ball and control the clock, that could be a upset.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. It's a neutral site game in the Bronx, Yankee Stadium. I got Notre Dame winning, and I got them winning convincingly. I can't help but feel that this is just going to be another big moment for them to say, we got a ranked win, and people are going to be like, okay, dude, it's Army. They were a fun story, but they're not a title contender, you know? Yeah. So Notre Dame is kind of going down the Penn State route of, hey, we're really fake, but love us anyway. Speaking of Penn State, they're number four. They go to Minnesota. This is an upset alert for me. Minnesota 6-4, play tough in Minneapolis. Penn State, right before their rivalry game, senior day against Maryland next week. Penn State only favored by 11.5.
And they play in at Minnesota.
At Minnesota.
That could be a trap game.
Yeah,
for sure.
I got Penn State, but it's an upset alert. I think Minnesota definitely covers that 11.5 point spread. Number 16, Colorado goes to Kansas. If there were ever a trophy for best 4-6 team, Kansas would have it. They beat Iowa State. They beat BYU. Colorado riding high, only favored by 3 on the road against this 4-win Jayhawks team, and it's in Arrowhead Stadium.
Colorado's favored
by 3. Yes.
I'm gonna pick Kansas straight up.
Really, you're picking them outright.
I'm gonna pick them straight up.
Yeah, man, I don't know. They're tough. I think Colorado wins, but I think they struggle. I think the 3-point spread is very much accurate. So we'll disagree on that one, and we will reconvene next week. And this is just a very quick hitter. Wake Forest goes to Miami. Do you have an upset alert for my Deeks here, brother?
I'm sorry, I don't.
We may score 20, and that'd be great. Miami may score 70, and that would be expected. Lastly here, as we're hitting the final stretch, Alabama at Oklahoma. Who do you have, and by how much?
I got Bama 35-17.
Wow. I did not tell you my score once. I've got Alabama 35-13. I think you're giving Oklahoma's offense way too much credit. I think this is just simple execution by the Tide, particularly by the offense. As I said before, they're just looking to plow ahead and just we'll focus one game at a time. Roll over Oklahoma, got the Iron Bowl next week. All right, you've been listening to the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. We'll see you next week with Alabama Auburn.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.